Welcome to Hour 2 of the Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We have a question on the YouTube. You go to YouTube.com or open up a YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device. Search 1017 The Truth. Hit subscribe. You'll be able to view the live in studio camera. Got my sunglasses on. Got to make sure I take them with me because last Friday I left them in the studio. Happened to tune into the lunch break with Ray Nitti and Maybe Shannon. And I saw Ray Nitti sporting my Ray-Bans. Just because it's got Ray in the name, Ray, don't mean that you got to put on my sunglasses. These are my sunglasses. So I went and picked them up over the weekend because I need my sunnies. He had fingerprints all on the lenses. That's because he was eating fried chicken. He had grease. It's hard to get these lenses clean now.
He had fried chicken in the studio?
I don't know where he had fried chicken. You know you blacks love the chicken.
Oh, so is this a racist comment?
Probably it is a racist comment. I think white people need to be much more honest with us because in them being politically correct, they are fooling us. Xavier had said while we were on commercial break. You know, for black people to be fooled by racism is just astonishing to me. Because we think because the Jim Crow signs came down that their attitudes changed, they got more racist. You think Barack Obama did anything to move the cause of racism? Like, do you think that he improved it? Do you think the people saw Barack Obama's, oh my God, he's black and he's nice and he's a daddy. He's got a black wife and they're married and they're not divorced. Even though I question Michelle Obama sometimes, whatever. I think she got a boyfriend somewhere. That's fine. Barack wouldn't even care. He'd still stay with her. But do you honestly think that they saw Barack Obama and said, oh, wow, this racism stuff is stupid because, look, a black person can be successful too. A black person can follow the rules. Now, Barack Obama, he did, you know, did a little cocaine. It's all right, a little bit. He admitted to it in his book. He had a little bit of an identity crisis. He was very honest about who he was. But do you honestly think? Like, don't stop lying to yourself. If you're lying to yourself, we're going to have to stop. Just like every woman that thinks she's a 10. Stop lying to yourself. You ask a man to rate himself on a scale of 1 to 10, he's going to tell you the honest truth. Like, well, I'm fat, got a little wee-wee. I'm probably a 3. He'll be honest. You ask a woman, I'm a 10 out of 10, baby. Stop lying to yourself. We're lying to ourselves. We think just because they don't say the N-word, that, oh, they must like us. They hate our guts. You ever, I want you all to, I wish you knew more restaurant owners and listen to how servers fight on who's going to take the black table. They don't even want us in their restaurants. And what do? We go to their damn restaurants and give them a food review that actually helps their business with other African Americans, not knowing that they don't want us in there in the first place. I just sit in disbelief. But we were on commercial break, and Xavier was like, well, don't these people read the internet and read the comments? Like, you should know how they feel about us and how incredibly racist they are. Here's what the problem is. Your coworker that likes you, they talk to you every day. You might even have lunch with them. Everything is cordial at work. They got 3 or 4 different Facebook pages where on everything that talks about race or culture or black people, they're calling us monkeys and jigaboos and spear chuckers. But they'll sit right next to you at work and be nice to you Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. We have no idea. So here's the thing. On the internet, it's one thing because that's where you see all the racist comments. But what black folks will say is, well, not my coworkers. They all like and respect me. No, your coworkers are actually the ones that are commenting on some of the stuff you're putting on social media. You just don't know it's them. It is a veneer. They told you that they got to hide. Why do you think the Klan wore hoods? It was hot in the South. Them hoods got hot. They didn't want to wear them hoods. They had to mask their identity because they didn't want you to know that they were the judge, they were the sheriff, they were the police chief, they were the sheriff's deputy, they were the mayor, they were the alderman, and they were the county board supervisor and the executive. That is why they wore hoods. The whole thing with racism, it must be covert. They don't want to be outed. They don't want to be spotted. That's embarrassing because then we'll be on to them. The whole thing is we're going to be nice. We're going to be pleasant. But then they're going to do this thing politically, right? They called it, Reagan had them, the silent majority. And Reagan was like, I'll take care of them. We're going to infiltrate their community with crack, and we're going to build prisons from here to the other side of the horizon. Richard Nixon had them. Richard Nixon said, tell you what, y'all decide you want to stop being liberal Dixiecrats and come on over to the Republican Party. He's like, I'll fix them. I'll put a war on drugs out there. It'll be so severe, it'll lock every single black person up that even has a gram of marijuana in their shoe. But for some reason, we didn't recognize that. Because after the civil rights legislation was passed and you had to take the Jim Crow signs down, you couldn't say whites only and coloreds only, they had to go even deeper underground and get more covert with it. You deindustrialize black neighborhoods and black communities. You gut our economics. Boom, now we're poor. Now we're destitute. Here comes the crack. Here comes mass incarceration. And then look at the neighborhood. Look at the community. Who owns our businesses? Not us. I was just looking at all the damn food trucks that we have just in the black neighborhood, just chilling. And that got to me. Because there was a period of time. I use Milwaukee as an example. And I do want to get to some of these YouTube comments. LT, I'm not talking about a stadium that was in a city and moved to the suburbs. I'm talking about if there was a stadium that was built in the suburbs and there's land and opportunity in the city where there are more people and where ticket sales would be easier, they don't move to the city because they're trying to stay away from diversity. Now, I'm not familiar with other cities, but there is no city. Like, you have other cities that are segregated, but the way that Milwaukee did it with our housing covenants and the way that we were so specific and so overt with it is not like many other cities in America, and we still maintain our economic and geographic segregation of the races and the incomes to this day because that foundation was laid. And because Milwaukee does still show remnants of that kind of segregation, the racism that created it and enforced it is also still here. Problem is, we hang out with those white people and don't know how much they actually hate our guts. As long as you're not doing better than them, it's usually okay. But once we become competitive and once we start moving into their neighborhoods, then you might get a nigger spray painted on your garage. You know, it comes with the territory. So, yeah, it's not that if there's opportunity to locate in what they call, not a burgeoning market, like a untapped market. So they call black people and minorities like we're untapped markets. For a while, insurance companies were really targeting black people because we're underinsured. For a while, Northwestern Mutual was targeting the African-American community because we don't invest our money worth of sugar, honey, iced tea. So they wanted to sell us investment instruments. We didn't bite. But yeah, it's not about, well, I guess with outward migration, because Milwaukee has become a majority minority city with black people not being the complete majority, but the plurality of races. Not because black people are moving here. Black people are fleeing Milwaukee. We're a plurality black city because the white folks are running away. And what do? We chase them. White folks are like, we're out of here. We're going to Wauwatosa. Here we come. White folks are like, dagnabbit. White folks going to Waukesha. Here we come. White folks going to Hartford, going to Slinger. Here we come. We're like, wait for us. Please. White folks are going to the moon. Oh, really? What do you think the colonization of space is about? They're trying to leave y'all black asses on Earth. And here we come with a space suit on. Got a whole space.
Hi. My name is Leroy. Do you have any Section 8 moon condo?
That was racist.
That was racist.
We just trying to follow them. We just, because they got the good schools.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
I don't know what it is. One of them calling right now. But I got to illustrate this because the number of black people that felt, Like, one lady was like, but I was the first black person to play the guitar at American Family Field. Why are you so racist? They hate our guts. They're just not, they're not being honest about it. Barack Obama gets elected president not once but twice. Do you think the racism calmed down after that? Do you think the people said, oh, my God, he's a decent guy? Let's stop being so. They got more racist. I've been trying to tell you. I got to say it at least once a week. The more successful we become, the more racist they get. It does not work in the opposite. So what do? We try and go above and beyond. It's wasted effort. Or if there's a restaurant, like one of the employees might be disgruntled. Oh, Texas Roadhouse. Now, they're saying it's a quote-unquote rumor, but Texas Roadhouse is investigating it. They're spitting in black people's food. I promise to God, number one, I guarantee that they're probably doing it, okay? And Texas Roadhouse ain't the only one. Y'all are some whole fools. You go out to these white folks' restaurants out in their neighborhoods and their damn communities and act a fool and are disrespectful. You don't know what they're doing to your food. And here we are rating it 10 out of 10. We're so ignorant when it comes to how they feel about us. It's sad because we should know better. Look at all of our negative statistics. Y'all, you know how much help black people need to, like, writ large be doing this bad? This can't be just us. We got to have a lot of help from them. This is not just us. Barack Obama gets elected president. Donald Trump is like, I'll push him back. I'll take away that affirmative action, that DEI. I'll make sure they never become president again. I'll make it harder for them to vote. I'll support the SAVE Act. I'll roll back the 1964 Civil Rights Act. I will embolden conservative organizations to sue so that black people can't even get scholarships to go to college anymore. And so if you believe that electing Barack Obama and then reelecting him made racism a thing of the past, you're not understanding how it works. And I'm not explaining this to white folks because they know exactly what they're doing. And for some of the white folks that are in the comments saying, I can't believe this racism. Shut your mouth. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your grandparents, the school you went to, the church you go to, the job that you were at, all talk negatively about black people. You've heard it your entire life. Stop pretending like you're shocked. You can't live in that bubble if you are white. Everywhere they go, oh, God, you see what the niggers did? Oh, the niggers are fighting against state fair. That's exactly how they talk about us. But they don't do it in front of us. And then we have the nerve to, like, think it's some kind of, like, it's even. Like, Sherwin, look, the Asians were fighting. So what? Look, Sherwin, the white people fight when they go to baseball games. So what? Do you honestly think that anybody in the world is going to see a bunch of white people fighting at a baseball game and then see a bunch of black kids ravishing state fair and say, oh, samesies, the whites fight, the blacks fight. Are you kidding me? No. You know that it's different when it comes to us. And here's the other thing. I don't care what they do. I don't care if a bunch of white people are at a white event and they're beating the hell out of each other. Don't bother me none. But a bunch of black kids going out to their place and their space, going to their state fair and then fighting, that's different. I don't care what white folks do. And they are more violent. Absolutely. They curated the violence that is this country. All the gun violence, they're the ones defending the Second Amendment and the Constitution. They're making it so that anybody and everybody can get a gun, so they have a participation in the violence, too. Plus, they like to do the school shooting. You got a damn lady just murdered her three damn kids, and you got white women feeling sympathy for her. By the way, gentlemen, let me give you a word of caution. If your wife, your girlfriend, your woman, or whoever is showing sympathy for Lindsey Clancy, your kids are not safe. You need to use that information to get custody over your kids. I'm not playing with you. White woman comes out and says, I killed my three kids. White women are like, no, you didn't. It was mental illness that did it. We support you. They had a rally in support of a woman that murdered her kids one by one by strangling them. You know how insane that is? She felt her children's bodies go lifeless in her hands and did it one by one. And then tried to kill herself by falling out of a second-story window. Tried to kill herself. She jumped 6 feet. Oh, damn it. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to jump out of this window that's 5 feet off the ground. She's probably landing on her feet. Like, damn it. She's paralyzed, though.
There's a lot of people that think the husband did it.
Of course they do.
I was talking to some white women that were
You know what it is? They hate men that much. Even though she calculated sending him out of the house to run errands and to pick up, she even knew how long he was going to be gone and was able to time the murders of all three children. in the amount of time that he was going to be gone, because she sent him out of the house to run specified errands because she knew how long he would be gone and calculated how long it would take to murder her children. It was premeditated, and women are rallying on her behalf. Fellas, I'm telling you right now, your babies ain't safe. Take a break, come back. I got so much more. I got to talk about Nissan, too, because the Nissan loves us. There's a Nissan dealership that got accused of racism. So that's one story. But then there's another story about Nissan that goes back a couple few years, and a class action lawsuit, which I personally was a part of. So today we're talking about all of these covert ways in which racism is staring black people in the face. But for some reason, we don't see it. We think that they like us and they support us and they're here with us. And the white people in the comments section, like, I can't believe there's so much racism. Shut up. That's the last thing I'm ever going to do is explain racism to a white person. They know exactly what they're doing. And every white person has used the N-word. Even if it's in a Tupac lyric, they've used it. They always say they haven't. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
A huge thank you to everyone who came out and supported Truth Family Fest 2026. Special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, the City of Milwaukee, DCWS, AB Core, and Ascension Healthcare. And thank you for helping us make the event possible, and to our vendors, volunteers, listeners, and families, for showing up and supporting our community. From all of us at 101.7 The Truth, thank you, Milwaukee. All right, go to the YouTube and answer the question. You ever driven a Nissan? There's so many black folks driving Nissan Altimas, and then the fancy blacks get them in Infiniti. Could be a G35, could be a G37, could be a G50. Y'all love you a Nissan, don't y'all? I had one a long time ago. Not anymore. Let's talk to Linda. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Good morning, Sherwin. And good morning to all the good black and white people of Milwaukee.
Linda, just say good morning to the black people.
It's a great day in Milwaukee.
Hey, just say good morning to the black people. You don't need to say good morning to the white folks, because they don't say good morning to us.
Okay, so Sherwin, I'm sorry, I just got a text. My youngest brother just passed away this morning.
I'm sorry to hear that.
But I was going to say that, yeah, it's a great day in Milwaukee. I shout out to all the communities and individuals and organizations that's doing this, Sherwin. I mean, really, really, I'm just so inspired. And I want to say that, Sherwin, the Democrats heard you, because they coming out and they're saying that the Democrats, you know, the DNC is marginalizing black issues, black representatives. They are not hosting the Democratic Convention in Atlanta. I don't know whatever is going on with that. And then, too, I want to say that I was a waitress at 19. Remember Big Boys on Port Washington? Man, that was the best time of my life. I used to, they give me a whole half of the goddamn restaurant, because that's how good and efficient and friendly and customer service I was. And the tips, man, I had the morning service and during the week, and then I had the evening and late nice service on weekends, baby, $100 a day, I'm trying to tell you. But anyways, it helped my freshman years in college and my new apartment, all of this. But yeah, that's what I have to say. And I'm really digging those shades. I'm trying to tell you. See you later.
Oh, you won't. You ain't going to see me. We're sorry that your brother passed away, but she sure likes how I look in my sunnies. New Berlin Mayor Dave Ament is under fire after two Muslim organizations called for his resignation following the discovery of anti-Muslim, racist, and sexist content he shared publicly on Facebook. Could you imagine if more of the... So we have roughly 1,851 municipalities in the state of Wisconsin. Could you imagine if some of the village presidents and the mayors of the 1,850 or 1,851 mayors and village presidents actually told people via social media how they feel about minorities and black people, how hurt we would be? I think they should. I think that we need to be more aware. Now, they're not going to do that because they want to keep us in suspense. They want us to still spend our money. They don't want to force a boycott. And, of course, they don't want the media attention and the media scrutiny. But we're in this really unusual climate. I say it's unusual because typically if, I don't know, an elected official or maybe even a business owner was caught saying something that was derogatory or racist or discriminatory, whatever, they would lose a lot of business. They would get boycotted. People would say, oh, I want nothing to do with that restaurant. Now, there's such a willing audience to support people that have that kind of courage. If you're, a mayor or if you're a restaurant owner and you say something racist, they'll get you a GoFundMe. They'll pay. Oh, don't kill a black person. You kill a black person, the racists will pay for your lawyer and give you a couple $100,000 to live on and another couple $100,000 for your trouble. But we, for some reason, as black people, don't recognize that.
Remember Chud the Builder?
I do remember Chud the Builder.
Well, he got $1 million donated for his bail after shooting a black man.
There you go.
Remember Shyla Hendricks?
Oh, of course.
Called the little kid a nigger. Got $1 million.
Oh, that's just, those are the ones we've heard of.
Oh, yeah.
The Muslim Women's Coalition and the Wisconsin Muslim Civic Alliance brought Mayor Ament's post to light. The content includes reposts such as, quote, if you voted for a Muslim for elected office, you're a traitor. Another one, he said, if it weren't for white people, slavery would have never ended. That's not entirely false. Right? It's not politically correct to say that, but black people probably wanted to end slavery too, but no one listened to us. The whites had to say, Abraham Lincoln had to say, hey, enough! Let's stop it now. That's time out for that. And then the South was like, do we have to? And Abraham Lincoln was like, slowly, but yeah, kind of. Take a couple of years. And the South was like, oh, well, we're not going to be nice to them for like a really long time. And Abraham Lincoln was like, hey, that's out of my hands. But you got to free him. And the South was like, oh, man. Who's going to get all this cotton out of the ground? Tell you what, let's pass some black codes. So if we got to free him, fine. Let's make everything black people do illegal. And the city councils were like, wait, what? We can't do that, can we? No. And somebody was like, no, hear me out. If we got to free him, fine, because, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation or whatever. So fine, we got to free him. But let's make them just like standing around illegal, and then we'll arrest them. And then for all of you plantation owners that lost all of your labor to, you know, freedom, How about you just rent the black people from the jail? And the plantation owners were like, for how much? I don't know, like $9. But then do we have to, like, take care of them? And the jail was like, no, work them to death. And then when they die, just come back and get another. We'll just keep arresting them. Or how about this? Don't let them buy any land. Let them rent the land for more money than their harvest can possibly produce. And then they'll always be indebted to you. And then open up a store so they can buy seed and they can buy food and clothes and let them buy on credit. And so when they take their rented land and they plant their crops, and of course they got to plant crops to feed themselves, and whatever crops they have left over, they'll sell. But whatever it is, as far as money goes, that they make from selling their crops, take all the money, because that pays back the credit they have at the store, and it pays for the renting of the land. We'll call it sharecropping because we're going to share in the cropping. Genius idea. Janan Najib, founder of the Muslim Women's Coalition, said she was shocked when she first saw the mayor of New Berlin's post. Quote, at first, I didn't think it was real, Najib said. Najib described the content as deeply offensive and wide-ranging in its targets. Quote, anti-Muslim, it's anti-black, it's anti-immigrant. It's very sexist to the point it's cringy and unfortunate for someone of his caliber and stature and age to be posting some of these things. It was revolting, actually, Najib said. I don't know how in the world a Muslim person is shocked that there's an anti-Muslim sentiment. First of all, anywhere in a Christian country, let's keep that in mind. Let alone in a town like New Berlin, like, how are we? I'm so just blown away. It's because they're not being honest with us and they're not telling us on a daily basis how they actually feel. Because then none of this would shock us. But when we hear it, we're like, oh, you mean there's white people that don't like Muslims? Since when? September 11th did not help. Just saying. The posts appear on Ayman's personal Facebook account, which was public until questions were raised about the content. At times, dozens of reposts appear daily. Among them, a video of a group of people holding a Ban Islam Now sign and another post captioned, how to stop a Muslim invasion, accompanied by a video showing military men throwing bacon at people. Oh, that's mean, because the Muslims don't eat the pork. It's concerning to me as a citizen here in Wisconsin and as someone that represents the Muslim community, Najib said. He's really defining women by their cleavage to market his racist support for certain posts and reposting that doesn't bode well. I bet you that mayor gets reelected. Now, a little history about New Berlin, because some of you may have forgotten. This one comes from January 1st, 2011, so 15 years ago. You ready for this? The Department of Justice has filed a lawsuit against New Berlin, Wisconsin, alleging that the city violated the Fair Housing Act by preventing the construction of an affordable housing development proposed by MSP Real Estate Incorporated, filed in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. You know who filed it? Eric Holder, when he was Attorney General. New Berlin said, and I'm gonna take a break when I come back. So the mayor of New Berlin at the time, he's not the mayor anymore. He was actually in favor of this affordable housing development in New Berlin that was going to be paid for by federal tax credits. The people in New Berlin slashed the mayor's tires, threatened him, his kids, and his wife, and they vandalized his house because the former mayor of New Berlin that actually was in favor of low-income housing coming to New Berlin was essentially, they were about to recall him and he didn't run for re-election. This is the same New Berlin where the current mayor posted anti-Muslim, anti-woman, and anti-black things on his social media. you would have thought that 15 years ago we would have gotten the message about New Berlin. So why all of the shock when you find out right now? Because one of those people that may have threatened the mayor of New Berlin in 2011 very well could be the guy that's mayor of New Berlin right now. Take a break, come back, and I have details of some of the horrendous, horrendous things that people said to the previous mayor of New Berlin. And this guy was actually in favor of affordable housing. And there's some of the quotes because people left them voicemail message. We don't want niggers moving to New Berlin. Oh, they were just very open with it. But, you know, some black folks are like, I'll move to New Berlin anyway and show them how well-behaved a black person can be. Why do we do that? Like, we find out that somebody hates us and we always think that we have to be some kind of a pioneer. Well, I'm going to show them what a good-behaved black looks like. Next thing you know, you're going to be hanging from a tree. They're literally hanging. You know how many black people have been hung in the last 2 years? Oh, suicide. It's a suicide. That's not...
22 since May.
That's not our preferred method. Xavier said 22 black people have been found hanging since May. That's... They're lynching us, and we're surprised that they're racist. Sherwin, I can't believe some of the comments they left at Multicultural Day at Miller Park, but 22 people have been lynched. If I'm killing myself, first of all, I'm not suicidal. I'm not gonna hang myself.
From a tree.
Oh, no. How would I even do? First of all, wouldn't somebody see me? Sherwin, what are you doing? It's over. I don't want to. Putting a noose around my own neck. That's ridiculous. I'm going to go out like a wimp. I'm going to take a bottle of aspirin and just go to sleep with a teddy bear. You know what I mean? If I was to do it, I would do it in the softest, most gentle way possible. I'm not, because here's the thing. I would mess up the noose and try to hang myself. My big ass would break the rope. I'd fall down and have like a broken ankle and would limp into work the next day. Sherwin, what happened? I got rope burns around my neck and a broken ankle. Oh, trying to hang myself. No.
Swear a turtleneck.
Being lynched. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
In 2010, former New Berlin mayor Jack Schivo Vitero, very Italian sounding last name. Schivo Vitero, am I saying it right? Schivo, I guess so. He and his family faced intense harassment, threatening phone calls, and racist slurs at his home after he, the mayor of New Berlin in 2011, initially supported a proposed affordable and senior workforce housing development. The fierce public backlash and recall threats ultimately led city officials to rescind the approval, triggering a federal fair housing lawsuit from the Obama administration. The MSP Real Estate Group planned a multifamily and senior development in the city center that included workforce housing units intended for people earning $35,000 or less a year. So at the time, there was a lot of construction going on in New Berlin, and a lot of the people working on that construction were Mexican. But then somebody found it unfair that how are you Mexican and working in New Berlin but can't afford to live there? So that was the impetus behind this development group saying, well, let's do an affordable housing unit in New Berlin, so the people that are working on construction projects can actually live there. That's only fair. The backlash. Opponents voiced fears regarding crime and lower property values, which morphed into hostile protests, a racist sign left at the mayor's home, and targeted intimidation of his wife and children. Shia Vitaro, I think I'm saying his name wrong, later withdrew his support under the intense pressure leading to a discrimination lawsuit filed against New Berlin by the U.S. Department of Justice and the developers, though the housing complex was eventually built and opened years later. So that also took place in New Berlin. Let's get to this Nissan one. So how many of you, let's see. Let me take a look at the poll. We lost the damn YouTube again. What's going on with the YouTube? I can't even do my work. All right. 37% of you have owned a Nissan, hey? I'm included in that 37% because I once had a Nissan Pathfinder. In fact, I love that truck. I bought that truck I leased it. And it was a 2001. And I started my lease in the fall of 2000. So it was a brand new 2001 Nissan Pathfinder. Ooh, we all leather, moon roof. That was back when you had the 6-disc CD changer in the dash. You would just load your CDs up right into the dash, and you had a 6-disc changer, had the Bose audio system. It was black with the black leather. You couldn't tell me nothing in that truck. You understand me? I was a young man, too, 25 years old, riding around in something brand new. Boy, you hated to see me coming. Come to find out that Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation was charging black and Hispanic buyers more money and higher finance charges, and they got caught. I received in the mail information alerting me that I also was in that class action lawsuit, and I, at the ripe old age of 25, leasing my first new car, was charged inflated fees. I didn't know no better. Back then, it's not like buying a car. Now everything is online. You can research the car online. You can find out what the dealer pays for the car, what the dealer markup is. You can see what other dealerships are selling their vehicles for. Back in the day, you had to get a damn newspaper and find out how much cars was costing. We had to go to a dealership. There was no online car buying back then. And what I think that online car buying did is it made pricing way more competitive and way more transparent. In fact, a vehicle that I got right now, I bought it off of Carvana. They delivered that joker to my house. It's, oh, here you go, Sherwin. Here's your vehicle. Here, test drive it. If you don't like it, we'll take it back and get you another one. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to like it. I literally drove the Tesla around the block. I'm like, I'm good. All right, here you go. Here's your license plate. Here you go. Have a nice day. Sign this right here. Sign the paperwork. Bye-bye. And they drove away. And they took my old vehicles. No, I had the Chevy Volt. I drove the hell out that Volt. I drove that Volt to the core of the earth and back. But still never took it to Chicago, though, for some reason. The case was called Kaysen versus the Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Can I just tell y'all something? Y'all want to know something? So this is in the year 2000. I got my lease. Did I trade my Blazer in? I think I might have, because I was driving a Chevy Blazer when I signed my lease to get my 2001 Nissan Pathfinder. It was black leather. I had a moonroof, had a 6-disc CD changer in the dash. It was the LE model. Top of the line, top notch. You know how much my damn payment was? I need you to think about this now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 26 years ago. I'm in my first job out of college. I was making okay money. I mean, back then, I was making $33,000 a year. That was money back then. You got some people now coming out of college can't make $33,000. Back in 99 or 2000, when I got that job as a community organizer for the YMC Community Development Corporation, I didn't have no bills. I didn't have no credit cards. $33,000 a year, and I had health insurance. My little paychecks was like $900 every 2 weeks. My rent was only $605 a month, so I could pay my rent with one of my paychecks and still have like $300 left over. I had underground parking, too. Man, life was good. I feel bad for the young people right now because now they're lucky if they can make $33,000 a year, and that's where I started at. They started me at 33. Ooh, I was living good. I said, I'm going to go get me a car. I need me a new car. You know what my payment was? $571.33 a month in the year 2000. Let me do some inflationary math on that. It was expensive, but I wanted that new car. I was completely and totally ripped off. Now, I stayed in that lease for about maybe 2 years, and then I bought a Land Rover. I'm a car guy. I like nice cars. What can I say? My dad was a car guy. My mother's always had nice cars. Got to have a nice car now, because every time you go somewhere, I don't care if you're going to the McDonald's drive-thru or going to a fancy event, if you got a nice car, every time you get in it, you reward yourself for a job well done. Got to have a nice car now. Can't be pulling up in no junk. The Volt wasn't particularly fancy, but I was flirting with electric vehicles, and that was a good starter vehicle because I didn't know if I wanted to go full balls to the wall electric. And then I realized how incredibly inexpensive that Volt was to operate. That car was so inexpensive to operate, I paid it off in like 2 years because I wasn't really doing a lot of maintenance. Oil changes was every 2 years. I never had to replace the brakes because it's got that regenerative braking. So that's maintenance I didn't have to deal with. I never went to the gas station. I think I got gas for that Volt maybe 3 or 4 times a year max, and only had a 7-gallon gas tank. So even if gas was $5 a gallon, I'm only paying $35 every 3 months to fill up. Very inexpensive vehicle to operate. I was like, I can go full balls to the wall electric. Now look at me, driving an Elon Musk special. But in 2000, my lease was five. I'm going to do the inflation calculator. What would that be right now? $571.33 in the year 2000 in today's money. Jesus Christ. Okay, my first new car was a 2001 Nissan Pathfinder that I leased for a lease payment of $571. Why would anybody even let me do this? When I did the inflation calculator, that's like having a car payment today of $1,107.82. Do you know what kind of car you can get for a monthly payment of $1,100? You can get a hell of a lot better of a car than a Nissan. Why did anybody allow me to pay that kind of money? Well, I guess you couldn't tell me nothing back then. Good Lord. In Kaysen versus Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation, minority car buyers filed a class action lawsuit alleging that Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation allowed car dealers discretion to mark up interest rates. This practice resulted in African Americans and Hispanic customers paying disparate higher finance charges than white borrowers. And guess who I got that vehicle from? Who I got that Nissan Pathfinder from? Rosen. Y'all remember Rosen? Rosen ripped me off. I ain't know no better. I was 25 years old. $571.33 is what my lease payment was. And you have sales tax added on top of that. You know when you lease a vehicle, you pay sales tax on the lease amount every single month? I don't even know what it was with the sales tax. It was obviously more than that. It's probably closer to $600 a month. Good God. Lawsuit and findings. The core issue: lenders approved baseline financing rates but permitted auto dealers to add an extra percentage markup to increase their profit. Statistical studies. Plaintiffs introduced expert research showing that minority buyers paid significantly higher average dealer markups than white buyers with similar credit profiles. The Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation denied direct wrongdoing or intentional racial bias, arguing that variations in pricing stem from legitimate creditworthiness factors and market forces rather than race. I'm going to take a break, come back, and talk about the settlement in which I was a part. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Today's show has been dedicated to all the ways in which racism is still very much alive and well around us, but when it rears its ugly head, black people are the first ones that are shocked and can't believe that people say those things and can't believe that they think like that about us. And I'm here to tell you, yeah, they do. And I wish that they would be more honest so that we would be much more aware of how much they actually hate us. And I know what you're thinking, but Sherwin, we didn't do anything wrong and we're good people and we work hard. That doesn't matter. Because the better you are and the more you follow the rules and the more you excel and the more success becomes you, the more they hate us. It's almost like an inverse relationship. There is nothing you can do to convince these people otherwise. And so I would say is continue to live your life, be all that you can be, and just as best you can, try and shake it off. I mean, I guess you can get involved in the fight and be an anti-racist, but I'm not entirely sure what that's going to do. But why should you as a black person try to convince the person that has created and maintained and fortified a system that they have prided themselves on for centuries? It's not for us to fix, but we think that if we just work a little harder, if we go to a white-owned restaurant and we tip a little bit more, that then they're going to love us. No, they're going to hate us more. They're going to wonder why we have so much damn money to tip in the first place. They're going to assume that we robbed a banker. We sell dope. Oh, don't be in a nicer car than them. It's these microaggressions. They'll say stuff like, well, so what do you, like, Sherwin, I mean, I don't want to be nosy or anything. I'm like, no, please, by all means, show me your true colors. But, like, how did, like, you bought a house? Like, how did you do that? Like, why do you have a nice car? Like, what do you, you don't ever question a white person and ask them why they have a nice car. I see a white person with a nice car. I'm like, oh, you sell Fenty. You sell Coke. No, we think like, oh, their parents had money. They inherited a bunch of money. They got a good job. They blah, blah, blah. They murdered a black person and got a GoFundMe and they profited a whole bunch of money. We always think of incredible excuses as to why they have nice things and have nice houses and have nice cars. They might be selling dope too. Dope got to get here some kind of way. But they always assume the worst about us, even when we follow the rules, and it's horrible. Black women, you have it the worst, and I'm not sure if y'all know this. If you are an attractive black woman, but there's a kicker to it. An attractive black woman that wears your natural hair and you're skinny. They hate you more than they hate a rained out baseball game. Attractive black women that are thin. Oh my God. It's some of the most visceral, disgusting hatred, because the thing about that black woman, especially when you have a body type that is idealized by white men, they are scared to death of you. And they always want to know about your hair and they want to touch your hair and they want to get to know you. And they'll even mimic some of the vernacular. There you go, sister queen. Yes, girl. Yes. They hate your guts. Don't ask me how I know. I've seen it firsthand my entire life. These white women hate. They hate black women. It's so bad. But here's the thing. Black women don't even realize it. They think that they're being accepted. And white women ask them to hang out. And what do? We invite them to the damn barbecue.
Does that really happen, or is that more symbolic? The cookout invite?
No, it happens.
Okay.
Some of it is symbolic. We see a white person that can dance real good or sing with some soul. Like, we celebrate cultural appropriation. Like, oh, my God, that white person can dance real good. Look at his Michael Jackson impression. You're invited to the cookout. I think that we have always been looking for racial reconciliation. For some reason, we feel like we need to be accepted by them. If you're accepted by them, that's the wrong kind of acceptance. So we started the program talking about this multicultural event that they had at American Family Field. It was called Black Culture Fest. And they posted an advertisement about it on social media, and the comments didn't disappoint, right? Are we going to hear smoke detectors chirping in the background? That's, I hate to laugh. Some of it is so ridiculous. Is there going to be a watermelon seed spitting contest? Of course, talking about the fighting and talking about the violence. And this is like an event that was put on by Social X, and Social X is like a social group organization that tries to prevent brain drain of people that are from Milwaukee, educated here, and they move somewhere else. You can't stop people from leaving Milwaukee, because why would they want to stay here? Once your eyes are open to how bad it actually is and how you get treated and how you get disrespected, you think that I haven't seen it? Being in the field that I am in, I run circles around white radio hosts because they suck. They suck. They're boring. They're unimaginative. They're not creative. Here's what I would. Here's when white radio could become great again. Tell us how you feel. Now, some conservatives do, but they're still kind of careful with their language. Mark Belling was the best at all. He'd tell you straight out he didn't like these people, did all sorts of the stereotypes. I appreciated him because I think that black folks need to actually hear how they truly feel about us, because then we get it. But also, the black community is nothing more than a colony full of sharecroppers in which our money and our income goes to someone else. If you're barely making it and you can barely afford your rent, you're renting. You don't own the property. You're paying somebody else. And you have all these Asian restaurants and Middle Eastern-owned gas stations and Mexican food trucks further taking our income out of our pockets and away from black-owned businesses. I'm going to talk about that coming up in hour three. The black community is simply a colony used to extract wealth away from us and going into somebody else's pocket. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour three.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.